Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games are right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Thanks to our mates at King G. Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Yes, hello, buddy. Sadly, time is racing away from us. Less than an hour to share with you. Tony Squires, Mark Guy, Ryan Girdler, Brent Reed. Just have a quick look again at that Tyre Power scoreboard. The one game so far in the first week of our finals, and Melbourne Storm far too good for Manly, 40 points to 12. I'm going to catch up with Aaron Woods. He's been able to put his feet up. Obviously got a little small child, but to watch some footy and get his thought on what is going to happen for the rest of this weekend as well. All ahead right now, though, it's time for a little bit of this.
Read about it. Read about it.
Reedy's Mail.
Reedy, you've been cheating on us with other sports.
A close personal friend of mine I caught up with last night, Tony.
Who's that?
Anthony Joshua. Might have heard of him. Triple world heavyweight champion.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In what circumstances were you catching up?
Someone just offered me the chance to jump on a international teleconference with him, so I leapt at it.
Okay, how'd it go?
Yeah. It went good, yeah. We had a laugh. You'll hear it soon.
Okay, really? You've got some actual audio.
Well, I asked him about Justice Hooney,
okay.
The Aussie kid.
Do we have this audio?
Yeah.
Let's have a listen.
And as a follow-up, there's another young kid in Australia who's a heavyweight, who's making some waves at the moment, a kid named Justice Hooney. Now, I don't know if you've heard of him or he's appeared in your radar at all. Can you tell me whether he has?
Is he the Olympian?
The Olympian, yeah, the Olympic guy, yeah.
Really good fighter. Very, he's a box fighter, very aggressive. Through the amateurs, you kind of start making your way through the ranks, and he's definitely been doing that. As you said, I know of him. I watch him. So good luck to him, man. What's his plans now?
Well, he was going to go to the Olympics. He busted his hand in his last fight, so he's going to miss the Olympics. He's going to have a few more fights to pro, and he's going to try and maybe go to the Comm Games next year and then try and knock you out, AJ.
Oh, good luck to him. I can hear one of these.
There you go. There's a question Rudy, you only ask on Zoom, not with your face-to-face.
He took it well. He had a laugh.
He sounds like a great player.
Yeah, he was really good. He was great interview.
What's his plans? Because he is a good fighter.
Well, he's fighting on September 26, Australian time, against a Ukrainian guy named Usyk, who is the unified cruiserweight champion. So he stepped up in weight to fight him. And then, provided he wins out, he'll fight Tyson Fury probably next year, a couple of fights against him for ridiculous amounts of money.
Do you think he was only being nice to you, Reed Justice Hooney, because he said the Olympian, because he didn't actually fight at the Olympics. Do you think he has seen him fight at all?
I don't know. No. Probably not. Although he knew he was trying to be an Olympian, so he must know of him. Yeah.
You didn't just see the Paul Gallen fight, you think he was
there? Yeah, maybe.
They're all monsters and boxers. I mean, Joshua's 6'5 and 115 kilos, and Fury 6'9, 6'10.
Wow.
And Wilder's about 6'8 as well. They're all giants, the heavyweight champions of the world at the moment.
Yeah.
All right, where are we going with Adam Elliott? What's the latest?
Yeah, well, look, obviously that mutual, the decision to part ways was made on Friday, late Friday. It was by mutual consent, so basically it's a clean break. Adam gets some money, a settlement of some sorts, and he goes away and sorts out his future now. Now, I don't think he has a club in place at the moment. I think that's something that will be resolved, or they'll begin to resolve it early next week, I imagine. I know his manager, Dave Riolo, has been talking to clubs about him and gauging interest in him. And look, he'll have no trouble finding a club. And the Tigers are one club that are watching the situation pretty closely with him. As I said earlier, it probably hinges to an extent on what happens with the coach there. But certainly Adam Elliott's on their radar. And look, he'll find a club, Adam. Excuse me. There's not much doubt about that. He's young. He's a good footballer. And I expect some headway to be made early next week on Adam Elliott's future, and we'll see him in the NRL next year.
I just jump in here. Mm. Another player who we may not see in the NRL, I just wanted to mention, Josh Dugan. Mm. Now, MG, did you see his kind of farewell or goodbye and on Instagram, I think it was?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I followed Josh Dugan on Instagram, and I thought it was classy. I think there was no bitterness involved.
Yep.
He was very circumspect about his future. He's got a life away from footy at the moment. I think he's made the right call. I think he's really made the right call. He's getting restless. You know, he broke protocols twice by going out to, you know, Orange, and, you know, he kind of just didn't really give a damn. And that's his prerogative. I mean, at the moment, I think he's one of them kids who's got to get his mental health right, and I think he's helping others do it, which helps him. So I wish him all the luck.
Yep. He's had a great career, hasn't he? I mean,
yep. He's fantastic.
His off-field stuff probably overshadowed a bit, but man, he was a good player back in the day.
Mm.
Absolutely was. He was terrific while he was at the Dragons as well. A team that he loved, and he mentioned that on Instagram as well. And the rich irony, of course, that he was trying to get to Lithgow when he breached those protocols. Yeah. Now he has to go to court in Lithgow. So basically, he gets to his destination after all, which is terrific.
What's to feed the animals.
That's right.
With all the other face masks.
Yeah, exactly. What's the story with Freddie?
Freddie, we spoke about the Queensland State of Origin job a bit earlier. Well, New South Wales actually has a board meeting this week, the New South Wales Rugby League. Brad Fittler's got 1 year left on his contract with the Blues, and I'd imagine at that board meeting they're going to discuss, review the series, talk about Freddie's future, and I'd imagine they'll make a decision to offer Freddie an extension beyond next year. I'm not sure what Freddie's thoughts are. You know, he's obviously talked about becoming an NRL coach, and maybe he doesn't want to tie himself down. But it's pretty obvious the New South Wales Rugby League's really happy with what Freddie's doing for the state and his results. His winning records, I think, alongside Gus Gould at the moment in terms of his winning percentage. So that's a pretty high standard. And as I said, he's got 1 year to go. I'd imagine at that board meeting this week, they'll say, look, they'll start talks potentially about extending that deal for Brad Fittler.
We talked about the Tigers a little while ago. Mm. Would Freddie ever think about that job?
I don't know. Gerge, you know him better than me. Do you think Freddie would?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, he's keen to obviously have another shot, so it's not often you're going to get the perfect job, but you just need to be confident that you can go in there and make a difference. Obviously, it's important to see how much they've got to spend, so how much influence you can have at what level, because you want to go in there and make an impact straight away. I'd believe that he's a guy that would want to bring the right people, as we saw with Origin, into the organisation, so he'd have to assess who's there. He'd also obviously want to understand a little bit more about the operation and how the administration's put together. But, look, hard to say. You couldn't answer it, 100%, but I'd say look at any opportunity.
All right, and speaking of opportunity, is there something going on with Billy Slater if he were to get the Queensland job?
Well, I mentioned my great mate Anthony Joshua. I've got another guy I went to uni with named Carl Stefanovic, the breakfast show host. I went to uni with Carl.
Name-dropping business.
Yeah. Anyway, I reached out to him this week because Carl's been trying to get a documentary up.
Oh, wait, back up, Sparky. So you're at university with
Carl,
Okay, what were you studying?
Journalism. We're both studying journalism.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you didn't go on to be a journalist.
A little bit further than the other.
No, Carl had the old reggae dreadlocks back in uni. Mm. He was quite the hip dude, yeah.
Was he?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Anyway.
Can you tell us any other details about him? What else?
No. My memory's very shady, scratchy from back then, yeah.
From doing stuff with him or?
No, well, I think he was a bit cool for me back then, Carl.
Were you not one of the cool guys?
Well, I was sort of cool, but not as – he was like ultra cool. I was sort of just reasonably cool.
Right. How were you with the ladies?
Me?
Mm.
Oh, held my own. Held my gloves up.
Held your own?
Oh, sorry about that. That's
not so good then.
Held your own.
Anyway, back to Carl. So Carl's trying to get a documentary up and running, on Origin, a fly on the wall, lift the curtain behind the scenes on Origin.
Yeah, Wayne was right into it.
Yeah, Wayne. Well, obviously that was one of the issues that Wayne, wasn't overly keen on. I don't think Paul Green was overly keen on it. But interestingly, obviously Freddie's the New South Wales coach. Paul Green's Paul Green. Billy Slater looks like he'd be the Queensland coach. Two Channel 9 identities. So I reached out to Carl to see whether he's still keen to get it going. Carl said yes. He still wants to make it happen. So that could be something to look out for potentially next year.
Does the fact that, the West Tigers won, does that pull the rug under that a little bit, given we've had that access fly on the wall kind of thing?
But I think that's had a pretty positive response.
Yeah,
it's had a great response. So I'd imagine that potentially it might help their cause. I mean, it's been pretty popular viewing and...
As was the test with the Australian cricket team as well. It's always fascinating.
Those All or Nothing ones. Have you watched the All or Nothing? Yep. They're fantastic, yeah.
Yeah. Any opportunity for fans to go inside behind those doors to see what's going on is absolutely brilliant. Reedy, you're looking at me like you've got something going on.
So I just got sent a text message, actually, that the Warriors footy manager sent around. Basically, they're calling on the NRL and players and staff at other clubs to help with the campaign to get 9 of their staff home to New Zealand to see their families. So basically they're asking footy people and staff to to share and repost the tag, to share the tag and tag in Jacinda Ardern and Grant Robertson. I know who Grant Robertson is.
At the moment, there's no bubble between the two countries.
So nine of their staff have been stuck over here for basically 2 years and can't get home to see their families. Wow. So they're basically asking the entire NRL to help them make it happen.
Yeah, but given there are three-year-old kids who are trying to, who are, you know, very ill, who are trying to get from Sydney into Queensland, that can't happen either and hasn't been for a little while. It's very difficult to see that happening, isn't it?
Well, it looks like it, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. Time for this.
Believe it or not.
All right. Believe it or not. Here we go. Believe it or not, Wayne Bennett is right. Penrith are cheating with their kick blockers.
Don't believe that.
You don't believe it?
No. Everyone does it. Everyone protects their kicker. We watch South tonight when Reynolds kicks. They'll be having blockers as well. Everyone does it. It's just some people do it better than others, like when we had wrestling in the game. Everyone does it, but it's just some people have done it better. It's, you've got to protect your kicker. That's part of the art form of the game. The kicking game in today's game is so vital that if you don't protect your kicker, you're getting big trouble from your coach.
The rule of the moment is stationary, right? You can be a blocker, but you've got to be stationary. But if you move towards or backwards or forwards, then you're in, you should be anyway, in some kind of trouble with the officials.
I believe it, but as like MG said, I think everyone does it. So, you know, until they... One thing for Wayne to stand there and be critical of Penrith, but I'm sure Wayne's teams push the envelope in terms of the rules as well. Everyone does. That's part of it's what coaches do, isn't it?
Yep.
I didn't even know the rule, Tate. I didn't know you had to be stationary. There's so many rules these days I can't keep up. But
well, they get changed on a weekly basis too. Yep.
So, yeah, I'll be having a close look at it in tonight's game.
Will you? Okay. Yeah. All right, wait, and you'll call me up and tell me whether you believe it or not then,
well,
will
that's
you?
All I can do.
Excellent. All right. Believe it or not.
I believe it.
It's got to be true. Believe it or not, you don't need to coach in the NRL first to coach State of Origin.
I believe that, yeah. I believe that. You don't need to be an NRL coach to coach Origin. I mean, you know, I think we'll see that when Billy Slater leads Queensland to a 3-0 victory in next year's series. It's not necessary. You've got to have someone around you, I think, who's been in the NRL though, like as I said with Freddie coaching the NRL obviously, but Freddie's got Fitzy around him. I thought one of Paul Green's faults this year was he didn't have someone who was involved in the NRL on a day-to-day basis on his coaching staff. So I think you need to have someone around you who's involved in the system, but you don't need to be an NRL coach, no.
All right, Ryan, tell me now or tomorrow?
No, I'm going to tell you now. Did Rudy believe it or not?
He didn't believe it.
No, I don't believe it.
You don't believe it?
No.
Okay.
No, I believed it, did I? The question was you don't need to be an NRL coach.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe you don't.
Yeah.
We're Sterlo.
Sterlo will be listening to this going on, with a big smile on his face going, I told you so, boys.
Come on, Sterlo. What do you think, MG? You don't need to coach in the NRL first to coach Origin.
I believe it. Yeah, what Reedy said, I think we'll see that with Billy Slater when he coaches, not win 3-0, but we'll see it when he coaches it. Freddie had a limited time with the Roosters, and I don't think that gave him any experience to coach the Blues. I think it's just him being a State of Origin legend that has propelled him to where he is, and having the foresight to be a really, really good man manager and let the players... A couple of rules he brought in were fantastic about the mobile phones and all that type of stuff, and all the players bought into it, so... The respect is there for Freddie, and I think if you've got a respectful coach in Origin, that they can excel.
All right, now believe it or not, now this is something that has been touted during the week from Peter Volandis. Believe it or not, the NRL is right to increase maximum fines to $130,000, up from $50,000, for an off-field incident.
I don't believe that. I think that's a bit excessive. $130,000, that's a lot of money.
Yeah,
I mean that's more than 10%. The highest paid player in the game's contract. No, I think that's a bit high.
It's a good deterrent, like, but isn't it?
It's a good deterrent, but...
Peter Volandi says if you're not going to do anything wrong, you're not going to be afraid of $130,000.
That's just an excessive use of power, Tony. I don't like it one little bit. It's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. $130,000?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, don't like it.
But if you're not going to do anything wrong, you're not going to be hit with the $130,000 fine, are you?
Don't like it, Tony.
Don't like it?
It's just an overuse of power.
I tend to agree, and I tend to think that the notion that $50,000 for players who, look, a lot of them earn a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, 50 grand.
It's a lot of money, and to say that they don't feel that in their hip pocket is absolute nonsense, because these guys are earning good money, but over a short period of time. And they have to get somehow stretch that dollar out for their entire lives. They don't want to be, you know, working somewhere at 75 years old. They want to be able to sit back at some point.
If you feel the need to find someone 130K, you may as well just let them out of our game. If they do something that bad, just get rid of them.
That's a very, very good point. What have you done that wouldn't got you rid of them from the actual game itself?
Exactly
right,
what
MG?
Gerd says. Yeah, exactly what Gerd said. I'm with him on this one.
Okay, and the final, believe it or not, should Brad Arthur be under pressure if the Eels lose tomorrow, MG?
I think it's inevitable. I think it's, you know, this is a team that was in the top four for most of the season, and take them two winning games out from the Cowboys and the Storm, that 4 weeks before that they lost them four games, and they rest the team, most of the team against Penrith. Oh, I think he'll be under pressure, but I don't think he'll be sacked. Okay. I don't think he'll be sacked. He won't be, but definitely if they get beaten by the Knights in the first round of the semi-finals after being in the top four for most of the season, the questions will be asked.
Yeah, they got a fully stacked side, rested side going into a game against the Knights in a week one of the finals. They went out in straight sets last year. I think if they don't get the job done tomorrow, yeah, he'll be under pressure.
I think he will be, but I don't think he deserves to be. I think it has to be put in perspective. I think they're 1-5 in finals under Brad, but three of those losses have been to Melbourne, and one of them last year was after, on the day of the game, Michael Jennings at 6:30 in the morning, being scrubbed out of the game because of a failed drug test. And they still haven't replaced Michael Jennings. I mean, they had that money. They bought Tommy Opacek before Jennings got suspended to be their backup centre. He's basically got to play all year because they never replaced Michael Jennings. And they've had issues out wide all year, which is a hangover from Jennings copping that ban on the day of the final last year. So, you know, I think Brad's record has to be weighed up against, A, an all-conquering Melbourne team that he's had to face three times, and, B, what happened last year in the second week of the finals to them.
Aaron Woods joins us. Paint the picture. Where are you? You've come back from Queensland. Are you at home? Feet up? Baby on the chest? What's going on?
Feet up, I wish. Mrs. When she was in lockdown up there, she thought of 10,000 jobs for me to do at home. So
are you qualified for any of them?
None at all. Just do me best.
Hey, Woodsy, what was the plan, mate? Because you weren't tempted. Did you stay up there a little bit longer? Were you going to stay further in Queensland, obviously, with the lockdown back here, or are you keen to come home with the little one and settle back into normal life?
Nah, good. Look, we weren't too sure because we only really had... So we obviously had our daughter Coco, and I left the next day, and then Sarah ended up coming up 3 or 4 days later. So the little one's just been sleeping out of her pram for the last 8 weeks. So we didn't have too much up there for her. So Sarah wanted to just sort of... We spoke about it. We're keen on staying, but we've been living in a hotel room for the last 8 weeks and it was pretty boring. So we wanted to just get back to our place. And we obviously knew it was in lockdown, but we just love being home. We're home people.
How are you going with two now, Woodsy? You got your hands full?
Far out, Reedy. It's a lot harder than one, isn't it, mate? I reckon the little fella, the eldest, has got worse because he knows that I can't chase him everywhere when I've got the girl in my hand. So he's got more cheekier. And the thing that didn't help as well, the boys are just feeding him chocolates while we're away, so he's being a madman.
He's a good age, though, isn't he? Is he two?
Oh, terrible twos, Reedy. It's a great age.
It's a good age to start to talk. And
excellent. Especially with a sugar hit every now and then. That really does.
Every now and then. It was every morning.
How was that, Woodsy, up there with, you know, the little team communities and families and so forth in camp for that long periods?
Oh, look, Gerds, it was a bit weird at the start because we had, obviously, Tigers, Dragons and the referees with us at the start. And, you know, that's when we were at the full hard lockdown quarantine. So, and the refs, you know, mate, they're probably the most untidiest people I've ever seen. They refused to pick their plates up. So we had to give them a few lessons in manners while we were up there. But other than that, mate, you know, we probably had one weird week was when we played against the Tigers. We had to travel up on the same plane, you know, obviously play against them at Rockhampton and then travel back. So that was a little bit awkward. But other than that, mate, all the boys were really good. You know, they knew we were up there and the reason we're up there for. So, we met a lot of their families, and you see a different side of them, you know, away from the footy field, and it's pretty cool.
So by halftime in the Titans game, given that they had to win by 11-plus to knock you guys out of the eight, had the first shandy come out because I think they were already well on the way?
I was probably four deep by then, Tony. look, mate, the Warriors started off really good, actually, but they bombed the try the first set, and that was probably all they had for the whole match, and then Titans went bang, bang, bang. So... we pretty much knew our fate. You know, that's what happens when you leave in another side. So Look, the beers went down quite well, but it was obviously disappointing Saints had to be knocked out.
What about the games this weekend, Woodsy? Your old mate David Clemmer, you've spoken to him this week about Newcastle and Parra.
Yeah, mate, he's pretty fired up, but I think he's touch and go. He had a bit of a rib problem last week. He got hit against the Brisbane. You know, I give it to him. I reckon they took it a little bit too light on against those blokes. Those young Broncos pack, they go really well. So, but honestly, he's fired up for a big game if he can get past the fitness test. But, you know, I think Parramatta are a dangerous side. Look, they've hit some form the last few weeks. Obviously, last week they rested a lot of players, but you know, the likes of Junior Paulo, Mitch Moses, they're starting to hit some form, and getting Campbell Gillard back tonight is going to really help them. But I think the game I'm looking forward to is the Penrith South game. That's going to be enormous.
What do you like about that? What do you like about that forward matchup in that game, Woodsy?
Oh, mate, I just love it. You've got all the informed Panthers players. They've been playing some enormous footy all year, probably for the last 2 years, to be honest with you. And then I'd really love to be seeing Latrell Mitchell out the back. But obviously, you know, he got suspended a few weeks back. But and they're both a really mobile pack. And, you know, I think whichever pack goes forward and gets the quick play the balls, the either side hooker is going to really dominate the game.
And how good is Wayne Bennett at lighting the fuse on a game of football?
Oh, it's unreal. You want to see that. It's the best thing about footy, you know. The referees sort of, we even noticed it last couple of weeks, they put the whistle in the back pocket. There's not as many penalties, six again. So that's about time they get put on notice.
Were you surprised of last night's result at all, the Storm and the Seagulls?
Not at all. You know, Melbourne have sort of just been building for that. They've played it really smart the last probably 4 or 5 weeks, Gerds, with resting their big guns. You know, we got a taste of Solomona back first week back against us. So they were all raring to go. And, you know, talking to a couple of the boys afterwards, they all felt fresh. The only thing I was probably worried about was Cameron Munster's knee because, you know, I've seen all the stitches in it before the game and how good of a player he is. But it showed you last night how good they really are. And, you know, all this talk was about Turbo, but geez, don't they know how to nullify one big play every time?
Mate, the word is on the street that you're going to wait until February before you agree to a new deal so you miss the next preseason. How true is that?
Mate, you know, they don't call me silly. So, you know, I know how to use it, mate. It's good weather in this time of year, so I might get to sit and relax by the pool and see how the other boys go with all the photos on Instagram of the clubs.
What's the latest, Woodsy? Come on, give us a lowdown. Must be something cooking.
Not much yet. Hopefully, in the next couple of weeks, it should be all sorted. So,
that sounds like you've got something. There's something happening.
Yeah, don't worry. You'll be the first one to know.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah.
I won't tell Reedy, but I'll tell the boys.
Oh, mail. I need mail, Woodsy. Something.
No, nothing for you, you dribbler.
How was it in terms of, you know, missing out in the eight is one thing, but you've been with that club for a while now. How was the kind of farewells as you left from them? The Sharkies?
Yeah, it was quite disappointing, Tony. You know, obviously, not making the eight. You know, it was hard. We lost a few of the boys while we were up there. Sean Johnson, Royce Hunt. Obviously, Shawnee got released early. Dugas didn't come away. Wado didn't come. So it was sort of, it was a bit of a disappointment in the end because we didn't have all the boys there. But look, when we got to have a few beers at the end of it, you know, it was good to just wind the boys up. And we also had our awards ceremony up there on the I think it was the Monday after we did find out we got knocked out. So we got to enjoy, you know, Will Kennedy killed it for us this year, so he collected all the awards. So and then after that, we just had a big chat, and I just thanked everyone from, you know, the club, the staff, the performance staff, people back in Sydney. Just, you know, mate, they're all doing such a good job. It's a real hard time at the moment. You know, we didn't get to bring everybody up, especially including our staff that work so hard behind the scenes. So look, it was just so happy, but it was also a bit of a relief because we get to come home now and, you know, you're not living in such a weird circumstance up there, but you come back here, it's a bit different too.
Woods, you've got a bit of time in your hands now. I just got a message from Mick Chamis. He raised a good point. Maybe you can use that time to improve your play on FIFA because you weren't much good at it from memory. Is that, you're going to...
You're kidding, still... Reddy. You know I flogged you, but, mate, I've moved on. I've got kids now. Chamis needs to grow up.
Hey,
he needs to start getting his stories right too.
Hey, Woodsy, I'd imagine there'd be a fair bit of excitement around the old joint, though, with Fitzy coming in next year, and I think Josh Hannay is going to stay on. And what have you made of what Josh has been able to put together at the back end of the year? It was a pretty difficult start for him, but how do you think he sort of progressed through the year?
I thought he did an unreal job, Gerds. Just, you know, we obviously, when he first took over, I think we lost five on the trot for him. It was quite disappointing, and we're coming about 13th, 14th, and then you know, we trained really hard under him. He's such a, you know where you stand. There's no bullshit with him. You either know where you are and you know what you do to fix yourself. So that was probably the best thing with him. And, you know, we just kept building over the year. And, you know, we got lucky to put ourselves in a position to push for the eight, but it was pretty, you know, disappointing not to make it. But there's so many positives for Cronulla next year. You know, obviously Fitchie's coming in. They're bringing Steve Price on the coaching staff. He was at the club a couple of years ago, and all the boys have got a massive rap on him. They've got some really good players coming next year. Cameron McInnes, Dale Finucane, Nico Hines, who both of them played last night. So the club's in a really good spot. They've got some new performance people heading there as well. I don't know who they are, but they've employed some new ones. But and they get to play at Shark Park next year. So they're not playing out of Cogra Jubilee, which is a massive bonus for the club. So all the signs are moving in the right direction.
Well, do you win the comp?
I think Melbourne last night. I was telling people the winner of last night's game, I think, win the comp, because I think so tonight's game, Penrith and South, obviously the winner gets a week off, but then they've got to play Manly, and I think Manly will be raring for that game. That'll be a massive prelim final.
All right, but you've got the Storm getting the money overall.
I think Storm will get the chocolate to the end.
Woodsy, you mentioned Josh Dugan, and we spoke to him about him a little earlier in the show. His Instagram post, his career being over, I thought he did a terrific job given all the, you know, the difficult circumstances. There was no kind of edge of bitterness to it whatsoever. It was a really nice way for him to say goodbye.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Dugan has had some, you know, obviously he's had some problems in the past that he's been through. And, you know, I think he's come of age a bit. He's learned how to deal with them now. Obviously, he stuffed up a couple of weeks back, but you know, to his credit, he just took it on the chin. I think he's moving forward he wants to move into sort of a well-being role. He's been doing a lot of that stuff behind the scenes with mental health. So he'll be right once he retires. But, you know, it was disappointing that couldn't take him up there. But, yeah, just wish we could have been around him and enjoyed it, you know, when we knew he was retiring. So it's probably for himself, it's probably not the way he wanted to end, but he just took it on the chin and just moved on with it.
Woodsy, we've got 4 or 5 weeks more of lockdown, supposedly. What's the first thing you're going to do when we get out of lockdown?
Oh, no doubt it's go to the pub and have a beer.
It's the correct answer. It's the correct answer.
No doubt. That's the first thing. I've been talking to my mates. Just can't wait to go have a beer with them.
Is it? Yeah. In terms of that, I mean, obviously you kind of have to, as a footy team, you resist a lot of temptations in that regard all season long anyway. But are those kinds of things that do you feel like you've missed out on over the last couple of years? It must have been tough.
Yeah, definitely. Especially last year, Tony, like we were in the bubble, it was really strict. In Brisbane, look, we could do a lot of things. We could go to coffee shops, everything. The only thing we couldn't go to was sort of nightclubs and pubs. So anything that you could eat out of, we're allowed to go to. So up there, it wasn't too bad after the first 2 to 3 weeks. But last year was quite tough because we couldn't even sit and eat inside a cafe or anything when everyone else could. So you do feel like you missed out on a bit. And, you know, I missed out on a lot of parties with my mates. You know, a lot of them turned 30 last year. We weren't obviously allowed to go. And just love being around the boys. Just love the, you know, the banter, the shit chat around them. It's nothing better.
You're a social animal, aren't you?
I'd love to open a coffee shop at the end of my career just to talk crap with people every day.
Hey, speaking
except
of talking,
for Reed, except for Reed.
Yeah, well, speaking of talking crap, Woodsy, you played with Billy Slater. He's obviously sounds like he's going to be named Queensland coach. What are your thoughts?
So when we were in the Aussie squad when I first got to know him, I didn't realise how smart he was, mate. He's actually him and sort of Cooper Cronk ran our video sessions, and then Cameron Smith would chime in. You know, I always said to Tedesco, I was spewing that he missed out on the World Cup squad to see how thorough and, you know, strict he is with his preparation, how he is around training. It's absolutely phenomenal. So I think if anyone could do it, I reckon it'd be Billy. His attention to detail with everything is second to none. And probably the hardest thing in that level of footy is you don't need to really coach the blokes. You just need to get him running through a brick wall.
I think also, Woodsy, you talk about, you know, his preparation and how methodical he is. You've got to get the balance right at that level too. And as a young coach, you come in there, and just because that works for you, but you've got characters like, you know, Harry Grant and Cam Munster, you need to make sure you have the experience in management of people, be able to give those guys what they need in that environment as well to get the best out of them.
Yeah, spot on, Gers. And I think that's what Freddie does so well. You know, he's obviously got Fitzy and Bedsy in there. They do a lot of the tactical and Brandy, whereas Freddie's got that real good knack of knowing how to drive people. Obviously, like, we're similar to Queensland. You know, we've got lunatics in our side, but, you know, you've got blokes like Tarek Sims who they're a bit, you know, free spirit. And then you've got Dale Finucane who's straight and narrow. So You've got to know how to work the personalities, and that's the biggest thing in Origin. You know, when I was in there, we had a lot of lunatics, you know, Blake Ferguson, Dukes, but then you had a lot of stiffs, Ryan Hoffman.
You
know what I mean?
You didn't have to think too long about that, did you?
Aaron Woods.
Exactly. Well,
mate, it's great to talk to you. Let's catch up again soon. Thank you so much.
Legends. Appreciate it.
See you, Woodsy. Enjoy your off-season, mate.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
Gerds, Reedy, Tony here to wrap it up for you. We spoke to Aaron Woods. Do you reckon, what's your gut feeling? I mean, he wouldn't say.
Oh, it's something cooking.
It's something cooking.
Clearly something cooking. He's got something.
Yeah, he was relaxed, wasn't he? He didn't sound like a guy without a club.
He even had a time frame on it. He said something to be sorted out in the next couple of weeks. So there's something doing.
And it's something here rather than going to England.
Got to be something.
He's happy about something.
Yeah. Good on him. He absolutely deserves it.
I'll be really disappointed if he doesn't give it to me for some Reedy's mail, though. Pretty upset.
Well, maybe you'll give it to me and I can give it to you.
Okay.
All right. Time for this, though.
Be your scoop of the year.
Over beer? Well, Canadian Club wants to stock your fridge. The next big thing.
The next big thing, what are you thinking, Ryan Gerdler? What's caught your eye for the rest of this weekend?
I'm really excited about today, Tony, because four of my favourite players all go head-to-head. Victor Radley goes up against Tina Fasua-Malawi into Isaiah Yeo and Cameron Murray. Four of the best 13s, I think, we have running around in the competition.
Yep.
And they're all on display today, and they're all going to have a massive influence over the results in all of those games. And can't wait to sit back and call that first one with MG and Maroon, and then watch the Panthers and the Rabbits go later.
Love it. Okay, what's your next big thing?
I'm going to go on the Roosters-Gold Coast game. My next big thing, obviously, well, arguably the game's greatest fullback, James Tedesco, after last night. If Teddy has a big one, he probably takes the title off Tommy back. Up against one of the game's next big things, Jaden Campbell, who's Preston's boy. He's been outstanding for the
Titans. He was
terrific
last week, wasn't he?
He's dynamite. Dynamite to watch. It's
75 kilos max.
Ringing wet, but outstanding.
You know, I was fortunate enough to spend a couple of years with Preston, and it was just one of those guys when, and I've seen his young bloke do it already, and for such a, you know, what's he had, seven games?
Something like that,
And the influence he's having already on the players around him, because Preston had this innate ability of all of a sudden things weren't going your way, your back was against the wall, and he could just create something out of nothing, and then everyone would just lift and go with him. He was probably the biggest momentum changer of in a game that of footy that I've played with, and I've seen his young bloke do it. It's obviously been, it's genetic, it's been handed down, and it's a gift, and this kid has it.
And he said that his teammates have been telling him, run more, do more stuff with the footy, which is great for a kid like that to get that confidence, because when he has that, he is absolutely awesome.
Great to watch.
Who wins that game? Because the Roosters do get some key back, as you mentioned, Victor Radley, Jerry Wybrey, Hargreaves also back.
I'll give the Titans an outside hope in that one. I think the Roosters' discipline, they've got to get their discipline right. If they get the discipline right, they should be too good. But I do give the Titans a hope.
They played some attractive footy last week, obviously.
Yeah, I just can't, you know, faith in the Titans. You just can't back the Titans after the year that they've had. I think the Roosters deserve to go deep into the finals after the, you know, the effort they've put in and the disruptive season that they've had injury-wise. And I think they'll get the job done tomorrow, to later today.
Okay. Eels Knights.
Eels.
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 Eels for you. Panthers, Rabbitohs.
Panthers.
Panthers.
Panthers for both of you. All right, sadly, that's where we have to leave you. But remember, Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.